The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's one of the very, very well-known verses from Deuteronomy. That one is Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and we'll get to it. But with that wonderful opening scripture, we welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. This is Alex McFarland in the studio with Bert Harper.
It's good to be with you. We're looking forward to this, and it's always good to have you here in the studio, Alex.
Well, it's good to be here. I've been on the road traveling, but I'm at American Family Radio this week, and it's just so special. And this morning we had a good devotion. I don't know if you all know it, but every morning things open up around here with staff devotions, and they're always really great. And we pray together. And then you and I today have been recording. And I do want to mention next Monday is going to be July the 4th. And Bert and I did a special, special broadcast that will air. We won't be live Monday. We'll be pre-record.
That's on Independence Day. Right. I heard someone say, I don't know who it was, don't call it July the 4th, call it Independence Day. And that really stuck with me. So I say Independence Day on July the 4th.
That's right.
So I get both of them in. So it is a great day. Independence Day. And you'll want to hear that. It's a great thing about America and the uniqueness. So it'd be well worth your time to listen.
Well, we started yesterday, folks, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. And of course, you know, basically you've got three sermons in this book. One through three is kind of a message, and 4 through 26 and 27 through 34. And, you know, this is to the nation of Israel, obviously, but there are principles. There are so many realities and truths in the book of Deuteronomy that are applicable to all people. Let me read another verse, and then we're going to get back into Deuteronomy, and we'll be at 4. But chapter 30, verse 19, this day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life that you and your children may live. Now, Bert, when I read that, man, that stirs my heart.
It does mine. I think it stirred Joshua's.
Right.
Because
on.
You remember what Joshua would say at the last of Joshua?
Yes.
Choose you this day whom you will serve.
But as for me,
me and my house will serve the Lord. So what Moses did in Deuteronomy, kind of ends at the end of it, choosing, and the end of Joshua is choosing. Alex, that's still true today. Which direction are you going to go? You remember the man Jesus gave the parable. What house, what foundation are you going to build your life on? Sand or the rock? And
exactly.
We know that rock, that foundation, secure, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that if you're out there today, you have chosen to follow Christ. You're building your life upon who he is, what he has done, where he is right now, making intercession for us.
He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's at the right hand of the Father, advocating for us. You know, I got to tell you, I'm pretty patriotic. I like to believe that I'm a patriotic guy. And when I read a lot of these things, like Joshua, who he basically says to the people, you know, you all can do what you want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It almost reminds me of Patrick Henry saying, give me liberty or give me death.
Amen.
Samuel Adams. I want to read a quote because I do hope that as we go through these scriptures, it will generate within you love for the Lord, fidelity to the Lord, but also a love for our nation and a commitment to be salt and light. Samuel Adams, talking about the sacrifices of purchasing our freedom, really, he said, quote, if you love wealth greater than liberty, the tranquility of servitude greater than the animated contest for freedom, then go home in peace. We seek not your counsel nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you ever were our countrymen. Mm. End of quote. Now, he's basically saying, look, who's with us and who isn't?
So when the governor of Mississippi got the Samuel Adams Award given by Tony Perkins and his organization, it wasn't for being a wimp, right? Mm.
I would call that a high honor.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and listen to this, because the word listen is used I hear different preachers and Charles Stanley and some more, and I'm guilty as well. We'll be into it, and we'll say, now listen, okay? That's not a bad deal, because hear what Moses says in Deuteronomy 4:1. Now, O Israel, listen.
Listen.
I could make a whole sermon on that.
Right.
Alex, think about it, what it means to listen. It's not just hearing the words, but it's being intent on what is being said. And you need to listen to two things if you're a believer. You need to listen to what is being said by whoever is reading or speaking, but you also need to listen to what the Holy Spirit will speak, because He does speak through His Word, and the Holy Spirit's able to do that. And sometimes we may not make enough of that on even our program, and even when I'm preaching on another place. But I found out the Holy Spirit does take His Word, and He will send it forth, and He will accomplish what He sent it forth to do. But you who have ears, the Bible says again and again, listen to what the Lord hath to say. So anyway, when Moses starts that.
1 John 2:27, the Spirit that abides in you remains and will teach you all things.
Amen.
Isn't that a great promise?
It is.
That's why, and we've shared this verse so many times, but I love it. I pray it. Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes, Lord, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. And friend, you can confidently claim those promises when you come to the Word of God, because the Spirit of God wants the child of God to understand the Word of God.
That's well said. Now, verse 2, he talks about listening to the statutes and judgments. Now, listen to verse 2. It says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. You and I were talking about this earlier. I just was sharing, hey, I need to go over this verse. And you said it reminded me of you of a book, something in Revelation.
Well, yeah, Revelation 22 ends up, and it says, don't add to this book, or I will add to you the plagues listed in this book. Don't take away from this book, or I will take away your part from the tree of life. That's Revelation 22, verse 19. Think about, I'm just going to say it, liberal theology and cults. Liberalism, which came out of Germany in the aftermath of the Reformation, don't take away from this book. That's what liberals do.
They do.
Don't add to this book. That's what the cults do.
And legalists.
Well, yeah.
Think about the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Okay, they couldn't figure what it meant to keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. They couldn't just figure out what that meant. They had to add to the law. Let me see, you can't work, and they had to figure out what work was. Mm-hmm. Then they had to figure out what a burden was and how long you could walk. And it took up pages and pages and pages, because according to them, what God said was not sufficient. If I understand what Moses is saying here, what God gives us is sufficient. Now, that doesn't mean we don't write a commentary about it, but we don't add to it or take away. Right. So that is the symptoms. The cults add to it. Yes, they do. In other words, the Bible's not enough. We have to have another book added, a later edition.
Exactly.
But Moses makes it plain here. Do not add, do not take away.
Well, you know, we don't want to make the Bible say less than what it says, but we don't want to make the Bible say more than what it says. G.K. Chesterton, who is very influential in the life of C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton said, if man won't be governed by the Ten Commandments, he'll have to be controlled by the 10,000 commandments. And, you know, it's all about the heart. This thing of I could walk 50 paces on the Sabbath, but not 51.
Right.
It's not the letter of the law, it's the spirit of the law.
That gives life.
The letter,
matter of fact, it not just doesn't give life, it takes life. The letter of the law killeth.
I want to tell you, I have been in churches that are legalistic.
Yeah.
And in fact, I want to tell you, I probably was prone to legalism early in my Christian life. And legalism smothers, doesn't it?
It does. And I'm telling you, your list of do's and don'ts, people who you can associate with, Paul associated himself with some people that probably some of the legal said, why in the world would he do such a thing? You remember Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist in our time, And he
so
would
wise.
Yeah, and he would go to cities, and he would do his best to reach the masses. And sometimes reaching those masses meant that he had to speak with people that didn't dot their I's and cross their T's just like he did.
Right.
But he was able to look beyond that and say, Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is Savior. Let's work together to bring people into the kingdom.
Right on.
And I would say that we here at AFR, Alex, I've had the joy, and you do as well, to preach in all different denominations and share with them the truth of, and I found out people are people, no matter what part of the denomination they are. Have you noticed that as well?
Let me say this: the dogs that are the healthiest are the Heinz 57 dogs. You know that are.
That's pretty good.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
Listen, you look at the purebreds; they're the ones with all the health issues.
Yeah.
And when the gene pool gets so shallow, I mean, it's dangerous. We're not in any way advocating for low standards or compromising
no,
the gospel.
No, we're not.
But let me say this. The core values, I wrote about this in the book Stand, inspiration of Scripture, deity of Christ, atonement, resurrection, return. If we agree on those, we're brothers in Christ. And so I would encourage people, godliness, standards, salvation through Christ alone, absolutely. But look, some preachers get up and preach in a suit and tie. Others don't wear a tie. Some worship services are traditional. Some are more contemporary.
I just want to go one where the Spirit of the Lord is working.
Exactly.
Before we go to break, I did want to cover another area in chapter 4, and you find that in verse 22 and following. Listen to what he says. This is Moses. I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess that good land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. Mm-hmm. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Now, that jealous God, Oprah Winfrey had trouble with that. It means he's jealous for you because he knows if you go that way, it leads to destruction.
That's
but
right.
Don't you love Moses' heart? I'm not able to go in, but I want you to go in and possess it.
That's right.
I love that. I want that in my life,
yes.
Alex, that kind of spirit. Even if I don't get the blessing, I want to leave a blessing.
Exactly. You know, James Dobson's dad was a minister. And a great one. From everything I hear, he was an evangelist, he was a pastor, and did great things. But he could not have possibly known the great things his son would do. Isn't that something? But what he did know of it, he was very glad of it. Moses is saying, look, I'm not going to be able to go into the promised land, but you are, and I want you to enjoy the full blessings God has for you.
That's what he means.
He goes on there in verse 25, when you produce children and grandchildren, and you've remained a long time in the land, and you corrupt yourselves and make a graven image. He talks about the thing you and I have discussed, generational slide.
That's it.
Moses almost anticipates. Well, he does anticipate.
Jerry Falwell did as well. I remember him talking about Liberty University. He said, listen, it was founded just like Harvard and Princeton. And he said, I hate to say it, but if the Lord doesn't come back, there's a point of sliding down that slippery slope.
Isn't that something? You're listening to Exploring the Word, Bert Harper, Alex McFarland. Stay tuned. When we come back after this brief break, we'll continue in Deuteronomy 4 and 5, plus take questions.
Are you prepared to stand for real change? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. Join thousands of like-minded Americans who envision a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at the Values Voter Summit have included Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Governor Mike Huckabee, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dr. Ben Carson, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Ollie North, Mark Levin, and many others. In addition, there will be ample opportunity to network and meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview and to discuss important issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, national security, government overreach, and more. On September 9th through 11th, stand with us and fight for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to watch last year's event. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Shalom, this is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and I'm your host, Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein. Throughout the year, every week in synagogue, we read the Torah or Bible, beginning with the first chapter of Genesis through the final chapter of Deuteronomy. This week's Torah portion from Numbers 13 is called Shlach, meaning send, which begins with the sin of the spies who scouted the Promised Land and came back with a bad report. The second half deals with more commandments. But why is the Torah portion named after the spies' sin, an event that happened in the past, instead of something relating to God's commandments, which are eternally relevant? The answer is because it is through past events, such as the spy's sin, that we are to view God's commandments and His will for us today. The spy's sin wasn't that they reported that the land of Canaan was bad or impossible to conquer. Their sin was in saying that it could not be done. This was not their decision to make, it was God's. Yes, the spy's sin is past history, but the message is eternal. Serving God demands many things from us, our time and talents, our bodies and souls, and sometimes we may think it cannot be done, it's impossible. But as the spy's sin teaches, it's not our decision to make. When God calls us to service, all we need is the will to do it. God Himself will find the way.
Join us this year in following Rabbi Eckstein's teachings with our Holy Land Moments daily devotion. To sign up, visit holylandmoments.org. That's holylandmoments.org.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Guys, that's Mercy Me, and I'm telling you, I think that was, quote, in my day when they had disc, you know, the albums or whatever, 45, the flip side would have been, I can only imagine if I remember correctly.
You know, the other day I was driving in the car and I heard that on the radio, that song, Word of God Speak, and for just a split second I thought, okay, I got to wait for my time to come in. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm not on the radio right now.
Carl Peets is not with us anymore. He's working with another ministry. But he came, he would be co-host with us, you know, and he said, you know what I think would make, you know, Exploring the Word a little bit better? And he's talking about the introduction of those songs. And he went through and he gathered them all up. And I'm just saying, Brenton, I think it's a good idea too. We may even find some more. And so be listening. You may find some more of those introductory songs. I love them myself. So I tell them on Exploring the Word, you get the Word of God, but you also get some worship music. And I praise the Lord for that. We're in Deuteronomy. We're in chapter 4. Alex, you just talked about when you go into that land, Moses was expecting them to, you know, fall away. But when they fall away, and they did, and they would, God had a plan. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you would, to verse 29. After you fall away, they said, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. That reminds me of 1 John 1:9. You know, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Exactly.
Now, I want to say this. Notice God does make it sure it's... I understand why people have responded to easy believism, because I believe that's wrong as well. I do. But it says all your heart, all your soul. The Word of God makes it plain that it is an all-in commitment or an all-in surrender.
Well, it is. It is. I mean, we're not called just to make converts that recite a prayer only, but to groom disciples.
I don't think that should do away. This is just me personally, Bert Harper. We have folks that do not have altar calls and invitations. You're listening to two guys that really believe in them, because Jesus would call people outward.
Yeah.
But yet at the same time, when you do that, I think you need to have a mechanism for people to be able to be dealt with as best you can, as individually as you can. I know I work that in our church. Anyone come to that altar, I do my best to have someone down there to meet them and go through, and so they would know the truth, because sometimes emotions, you and I preach, and we preach challenging commitment. Hey, you need to come to Christ, evangelism. And it's possible that people in the area of excitement see someone else go down. Well, I need to go down too. Well, that's good, but I honestly believe you need somebody there to meet with them and talk with them as well. So I don't think you have to throw out the baby with the wash and not have an invitation or an altar call in fear of somebody getting through without really trusting Christ.
Well, there's so much deep, rich warning here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. If they fall away, if you serve the gods of the lands and the graven image. But it says this, that the Lord your God is a merciful God.
Amen.
He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the covenant of your fathers. Think about this. God is merciful, God is faithful, and God is present, but he will not forget. We might forget the covenant that has been made, and the commitments and the promises, but he won't. Now, in 32 through 40, basically, they are called to remembrance.
They are.
Just
Again.
Remember the days past. Remember. And it says in verse 33, has a people ever heard the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard and lived? Or has God ever tried to take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation, and by trials, signs, and wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand and a stretched out arm, by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. To you it was shown, so that you might know the Lord, know that he is God, and there is no one else beside him. You know, I got to tell you, it's humbling, and it's very, I think, moving to think about. Well, folks, think about this. 7.5 billion people right now in the world, and yet you've found Jesus, if you're a believer. America,
amen.
Hundreds of nations on the face of the planet, and yet there's an America that was based on godly principles. God was telling Israel here, look, if you guys fall away and get into sin, just ask yourselves, has there ever been anybody that met face-to-face with God and lived? Has there ever been a nation called out like you all? That ought to prompt love and obedience. I want to say, Bert, we in America are so blessed, it ought to drive us to our knees in gratitude.
Amen. Now, when I hear that, see if you hear it like I do, and I agree with you about us, the believers in America. Okay, God made himself known so we could know him, so we could make him known.
Yes.
You catch it?
Exactly.
That's what he did with Israel. It wasn't that he wanted everyone excluded from knowing him. He chose them to be the instrument by which they would, the prophets would go out, the law would come in, a nation would be lived under his leadership, and the Messiah would come. That was all them. So the world may know and could know. To whom much is given, much is required. When you read that, I thought, hey, they had quite a responsibility. Now let's do this. Not replacement. We don't believe in replacement theology. There still is in Israel, and God still has plans for them. But he also, it's like a dual track. He has plans for the church as well. Amen?
Right,
you catch
exactly,
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We've been given much, especially the church in America. Okay?
Oh, my word,
we've
yes.
been given much, and it is required of us. And as we were recording earlier, 4th of July, I believe one of the reasons America is still around is because we've been a missional country, that the church in America in the past mm-hmm. has sent out more missionaries than we've ever, any country that's ever been. We have sent the word out. So God's hand has been upon us. Yes, we need to turn away from our wickedness. Yes, we need to turn to God. But we also, the church needs to be active in missional projects to bring people to Christ.
In Romans chapter 3, Paul said, unto Israel was committed the oracles of God. I mean, they were called out, they got the scriptures, through Israel comes the Savior. But then in Romans 11, Paul talks about some of the branches being broken off and wild shoots were grafted in, the Gentiles. And so it's been amazing. If you opt out and you say, you know what, I'm not going to live for God, I'm not going to do the stuff I've been called to do, he will get his work done. I think about Esther 4:14, Mordecai told Esther, if you keep silent, enlargement and deliverance will arise to the Jews from another place, but you and your family will be destroyed. God's work will go on. And if you
with or without you?
Yeah. I mean, and the Lord in his mercy is inviting you to hop on his train. Salvation, Christian growth, you can decline, but the gospel train is going to keep on moving.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. God's mercy continues to throw out in chapter 4. We find in verse 41 where it introduces to us the cities of redemption,
refuge.
Or cities of refuge. We'll wait and go over that in Joshua. We'll go to Joshua. I think we're looking at what we're going to do when we finish up with Jeremiah and Deuteronomy, because we will have gone through all the books. But I got an idea that we'll go through some subjects, and then we'll go through a chronological order. But he gives those cities of refuge so people can go to and find justice. And then he ends it up again in verse 44 and 45 before we go to chapter 5. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments which Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt. Listen, this is it. He is saying, this is what I want you to know. And then he springs board into chapter 5, where he sets forth the new covenant and the Ten Commandments are repeated. He gave them to them when they came out.
Exodus
right?
20.
And now he gives them to them before they go in.
Do you remember, and Deuteronomy is really called second law. In other words, it's a restatement. So they heard this in Exodus 20, and now very famously Deuteronomy 5.
Okay, did he change any? Okay, there's still 10?
There's still 10. I don't think there's been any that's been erased.
Deleted? Okay. Yeah. The Supreme Court may not let them be posted, but God, 38 to 40 years later, said, no, they're still good here.
Isn't that something? You know what? Like we've said, and I say this, you know, tongue in cheek, I've read this book cover to cover. I've never found the words best if used by. Never found an expiration date. And the food in your fridge, you know, it'll be unusable at one point. But the Word of God has no expiration date.
We're not going to go over those. We just say the first four have to do with you and your relationship with God. And then the last six has to do, well, the next five really has to do with your relationship with other men. And the last one has to do with your relationship with yourself.
Exactly.
coveting.
It really does.
It's you that hurts. It's not your neighbor. He's got the Corvette, and you have the little Volkswagen, and you can covet that Corvette all day, but it stays in his driveway.
Well, you know, it's been said in many ways that there are three people that you need to be straight with, you and God, yourself and others, and then you within yourself. Peace with God, peace with man, peace with oneself. And the Ten Commandments addresses all of these.
It does. Now, I am rushing through it because you read chapter 6, and I wanted to get to it, okay?
Yeah.
And so I'm driving this bus through here pretty quickly. But listen, and just let me start and read chapter 6. I'll start with verse 1 through verse 9. And then I want you to do some comments on it, and I'll add as well. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are coming over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God your Father has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now here it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them how? Diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates.
Hmm.
What I believe Moses was laying down what needs to be done. Notice one term, and there's so much here, that your days may be prolonged, verse 2. Okay, if you're going to have a nation, that's going to last, you better do this.
Yeah, exactly.
That was true for them. Now, I want to share with you, the principles are still the same today. If we forsake the, I don't care, the law of God, the days are numbered.
That's right. Well, this very famously, this is called the Shema, S-H-E-M-A. Shema is a Hebrew word. It means hear, listen, hey, attention, you know. By the way, you mentioned Charles Stanley, who I love to watch on TV.
Listen.
And he'll say, listen now.
Yeah.
Bert and I, we love the old preachers. There was this guy named Oliver Green. You listening. Now, I used to get cassettes of Oliver Green and listen. I probably still have some of them. But he would say, don't you turn off that radio. And he'd be
now, preaching. He did it with a deeper voice. And
oh,
a
I know.
It was amazing.
And it was almost like he could watch, because he was a hard preacher. That dude was hardcore. And like you're reaching, he would say, don't you touch that dial. Do not turn off that radio. Oliver Green would say, hear, O Israel. So this idea of calling out, saying, hey, listen. You know what I've said? I've done some open-air preaching at colleges. Like I was at NC State, and they've got this thing called the Pit. And somebody shouted that, you know, preachers are just money-grubbing, this and that. I would always say, and I had a sign, I don't want your money, just your attention. And don't want your money, just your attention. Listen as we share the gospel. Well, Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel. And it is very much like the Ten Commandments. And by the way, you know, the rabbis would say that if you would pray this and pray some of the scriptures like Deuteronomy 11, where God will bring you to a land flowing of milk and honey, you would have summarized all the requirements of the Ten Commandments. Because it goes on down there in verse 13 and 14, fear the Lord your God, do not go after all these other gods, diligently keep the commandments.
There it is again, that word. Let me make sure we get this, because I don't want to miss this. As parents, you've got to do two things. One, you've got to diligently teach them. That means probably some kind of family devotion, okay? You need to teach them. The other one, you shall speak of them as you walk by, as you go. That means they need to see it lived out.
This is your lifestyle.
This is your life. And my wife came from a family with a single mom, but she, godly woman, love her, still living, just praise God for her. She diligently would teach those three children by herself. I came from a family where my dad and mom did not do that as diligently as they should. But during the day, I mean, being an old farm boy, I was next to my dad, you know, all the way through high school. When school wasn't in, I was by his side, and I would see him and watch him and observe him. And we can't, Jen and I talk how much we'd bring both of those into a family where you diligently teach them purposefully in a family altar, family devotion, call it anything you desire, but you also, you live it out, and you want your children around you enough so that you can see it. Don't get rid of them.
Well,
keep them
gonna
close to you so that they can see you live that out. I believe that's telling us to do that, Alex.
We're going to get to the impact on the children here in a minute, but this is just so beautiful. It says in verse 38, you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to your fathers. But then, this is just so powerful. When it comes to pass that your son will ask you, why do we do these things?
Amen.
Now, we've got a break, but it presupposes that you're living so your kids will say, I want what you've got.
We're going to continue talking about that tomorrow. But the next segment, we're going to take your phone calls. And that's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840.
Our nation is in need of another great awakening. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson, president of STAND, staying true to America's national destiny, inviting you to join us July 1st through 3rd in Chesapeake, Virginia, for our first National Awakening Conference. The secular socialism that is engulfing our government and culture has created failing schools, poverty, disintegrating families, gender confusion, fatherless children, murder in the streets, high unemployment, the trampling of our constitutional rights, a growing terrorist threat, and a weakened military. Only when we awaken to America's need for God and the responsibility of pastors and churches to be prophetic voices will there be a bright future for our country. Join me, along with General Jerry Boykin, Dr. Alveda King, and a host of other national leaders and pastors for STAND's National Awakening Conference. To register, go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us.
A quick trip to Aunt Helen's unexpectedly became an extended stay, and you're without enough of your medication. It's good to know you have real-time access to a national network of board-certified doctors with just a phone call. MD Live is non-emergent medical care 24/7, fitting your schedule. No forms to fill out and no waiting room, because all you need is your non-narcotic medication. HCBenefits.com. That's HCBenefits.com.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Reese Stenner, author of If in Doubt, Answering the Seven Great Questions About Faith.
So many of us have questions about, you know, did God make the world? Is there a right or wrong? Is there a true foundation? Is the Bible reliable? Where is all this going?
And Dr. Alex McFarland will cover question 16 of the 21 toughest questions your kids may ask about Christianity. That's on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
Ephesians chapter 5 tells us to make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. God has given the American Family Association opportunities to increase our reach and influence in 8 radio markets with the potential for 2.5 million new listeners. In addition, American Family Studios has started work on a new documentary project titled The God Who Speaks, Reaffirming Biblical Authority. As we work to fund these projects and others, here's American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
The bottom line is this, folks. It costs a lot of money to operate American Family Association and our ministries like AFA, AFR, American Family Studios, the things that we do to impact the culture for Christ. But if we don't do it, the cost is going to be even higher, namely the loss of religious freedom and the increasing marginalization of Christians.
For more information, visit afa.net or call 800-326-4543. America cannot wait.
Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/Exploring the Word.
That's the number, toll-free nationwide. And we do want to give a big Exploring the Word welcome to our friends up there in Northern Virginia and right in the city limits of Washington, D.C. I know we're on the air up there now, and we just want to say that it's an honor to know that folks in and around our nation's capital are listening. And we're going to get to your Bible questions now. You can ask your question. We're going to try to get as many as we can, so kind of get in your mind what you want to ask. And Bert, we'll open up the phones now, I suppose.
We sure will. We're going to go to your home state of North Carolina.
And where you and I will be in September.
Yeah, September 16th.
Right
on. We want people to know that. Okay, Chris, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing good.
Hey, I had a quick, I don't know if it's a quick question, but you mentioned replacement theology, and I've been coming across a lot of people on the internet, and it seems to be like a growing trend. Maybe I'm just noticing it more, but you have two groups, and I haven't been sure how to argue properly against their claims. One is the Hebrew Israelites, and the other one is the Black Hebrew Israelites, and they have some pretty interesting claims. But it seems like it all falls under replacement theology in a lot of ways. There's some really, pretty mean things to say about people that are currently in Israel, and also just about racial things and all kind of things. So I'd just like to hear you guys' comments on it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thanks for calling. Replacement theology, let's go to the basic thought, okay? It is that God is, and I'm making it the worst case scenario, is through with Israel and the church has replaced them with all the promises. You and I think it's, and I use the word dual. It was more of a dual. God still has something to do with Israel.
Sure.
But yes, the church is God's instrument in our day for the gospel to be heard around the world. Yes, we are. But
well,
do you know anything about the other part that Chris was referring to?
Well, you know, one of the questions that has really been on the minds of Christian thinkers since the time of the early church is, what about Israel? because by and large, they did reject their Messiah. And so in AD 70, Jerusalem was ransacked and they were dispersed. So for a long time, I mean, you read the book of Revelation and you see during the end times, Jerusalem is surrounded by armies. And clearly the New Testament treats the church and Israel as different. But Israel didn't exist for a long time. So what do you make of that? Well, replacement theology is, I think, perhaps a well-intentioned but misguided attempt to try to understand. And so it was basically, well, Israel forfeited all these promises of God because they rejected their Messiah. I don't believe that for a minute. I think that there is a great mystery to the church. There's a lot that it would have been hard to understand. But, folks, I believe the church is the church and Israel is Israel. And Paul in Romans, he says, shall Israel's unbelief make the promises of God to none effect? Heaven forbid. Now, we want to be very clear. There's one way and one way only to be saved, and that's through a relationship with Jesus. Sometimes, Bert, I've talked with people that have the mistaken idea that there's a different plan of salvation for the Jews. Many reasons we could give that that's false, because the first believers were Jews. Clearly, Jews and Gentiles have the same Savior. You can read Isaiah 49, the Redeemer of Israel is the light to the Gentiles, same Savior. But replacement theology, which kind of is popular in some circles, says that the church is the new Israel. False. Israel is Israel. And I believe that the Abrahamic covenant will be fulfilled at some future point. There will be a day when Israel will occupy their land in a state of belief. That day hasn't come yet. But I think even though we've had this 2,000-year kind of interval called the church age, Israel is still Israel, and God's not done with them.
Okay, and just keep that in mind, Chris, as you think, regardless of what Israel, they're going back to their land, and we can see, I would say, the forerunning of the possibility of them occupying their land, because they're occupying it now, okay?
Yeah.
They're not occupying it in belief, so yes, there's some further things that will happen. But for them to stay around for close to 2,000 years and then go back to the land,
it's unprecedented.
I think it is miraculous.
Let me just say this. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about this thing that we should desire called unity. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and come into Christ who is the head. Even within the family of born-again believers, there's different things. Equally good, godly, well-intentioned people can differ on some things. Isn't that something?
It is.
And so I would
don't make it bigger than it really is, okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you break fellowship.
Right.
Just make sure we know that. And if you're there and you're different than Alex and myself, but Jesus Christ is Lord, the Word of God is the Word of God sent to us, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and praise God for what He's done. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Karen. Karen, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to talk to you, too. You've helped me so much.
Oh, well, God bless you.
And I need your help today. Well, thank you. God bless you. And I need your help today. I had dinner with a friend of mine. We were discussing cremation. And he said, oh, no, I can't be cremated. My wife just can't be cremated because I don't know how long your soul is going to be there. And I jumped up with, oh, my goodness, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I tried my best to explain, like the thief on the cross. The Lord said, today you will be with me in paradise, not your soul's going to linger around on the earth. So I even asked my Sunday school teaching husband, where is that verse? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I can't find it. And I was wondering if you all could help me.
2 Corinthians 5:8. 2 Corinthians 5:8.
Get your pen and write that down, Karen. And listen, let me just share this with you. At the point of death, there's no doubt, and there's biblical evidence, that you're escorted from that body. Your soul is escorted to the presence of God.
Yeah.
Okay? have had some experiences in my life in pastoring for 40 years. I've been at the side of a lot of believers that have died and gone to the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about long time, but we're talking about seconds and minutes. There seemed to be a area in the room where it was heavenly. Not eerie feelings, but unusual sense of presence of the Lord, and then it would go. It was like the angels were there gathering this soul up and getting it ready and going to be of the Lord. To be absent from the body, you go directly to the Lord. It doesn't hang around for days.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say hours. It's probably seconds to a few minutes. If what I'm saying, and I think there's some evidence of that.
I've told the story about how when I was in grad school, we were at a Virginia Baptist Hospital, and there was a lady who had, she had been dying, and she was on this waterbed because she had bone cancer and couldn't really move. It was very painful. But she all of a sudden sat up. She reached her arms out, had a big ear-to-ear smile. She said, "I see Jesus."
Amen.
And she fell back and was gone. But yes, for the believer, there is the Jesus told the thief, "Today you'll be in paradise with me." So let me address something for a second. There has been this idea that when you die, the soul is asleep for decades or centuries on end. No, I mean where you're going to be is where you're going to be, and that's why we would implore you, if you've never trusted Christ, to call on Jesus today.
No purgatory.
No purgatory. No soul sleep. No purgatory. You read Luke chapter 6. Luke 16.
Luke 16.
The rich man in hell died, and one nanosecond later, he was there. That's why, I mean, and I don't want to be morbid on you, but when I think about like these suicide bombers and these terrorists who kill people then kill themselves, one blink later,
they're into the reality of the afterlife, which for them without Christ is a place of torment.
I know. And so for the believer, you leave this world, you're in the presence of Christ.
Presence. And wherever he is, everybody's talking, where is it? Paradise, Abraham's bosom, heaven. It's in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we got it.
Well,
down.
In 2 Corinthians 5:8, where he says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul says, which is far better.
Amen.
That's the understatement of the century,
Listen,
isn't it?
You got me. We're on shouting ground right now. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that good call, Karen, and keep listening and keep on supporting your Sunday school teaching husband. Hey, don't we love those Sunday school teaching husbands?
God bless you.
Praise them.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for serving your local church.
Amen. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Tom. I know it's hard for me to not say Oklahoma. Though I can't sing it, but I sure can say it. Tom, welcome. Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah, Bert, you of all people can say Oklahoma like no one else on the radio.
Hey, wherever I go, they say, "I know that voice." And I said, "Yeah, I've got the only one that have it." Okay. But Tom, welcome, brother.
I feel right at home with that accent. I'm going to tell you right
well,
now.
Well, I got my it. Question, honestly. Go ahead.
You came said honestly. My question has to do with salvation, specifically of my father and my older sister. My father was an agnostic all his life, and then towards the end, he became atheist. My sister, we were all raised Christians, and she became a Buddhist. These are two of the nicest people you could have ever met. I've talked this over with my friends and kicked it back and forth, got no resolution, so please don't pull your punches. If anybody can answer this, it would be you two. John chapter 5, verses 25 and 28 and 29, refer to Jesus calling the dead. I didn't know if that was in the the resurrection or the tribulation or what, I'm fairly new to Christ, so I'm not very well versed in all those notions. But I would really like to believe that people that nice get a chance to see Christ and make a choice. What do you all think?
Okay, Tom, thank you for calling and thank you for listening. The Bible makes it plain that the only way that anybody gets into God's heaven is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, brother, if I were doing it, I might have an alternative. Yeah. But Alex, I don't see an alternative in the Bible except through Jesus Christ. No matter if it was my brother, my children, it's through Christ and Christ alone.
God bless you. I'm glad you're a follower of Christ. And I know it's hard when people that we care deeply about leave this world, and as far as we know, they did not know Christ, and they rejected Christ. Let me encourage you, and this is something maybe you have to pray about, to resist the temptation to become what I would call morbidly introspective. And 'cause we can think about that, and it can rack our brain. C.S. Lewis was asked this question, you know, what about those? They were nice people. They were good people. And C.S. Lewis said, well, some would like all to be saved. And Lewis said, I've got to ask, against their will or not. Because if someone did not want Jesus in their life, heaven would not be heaven to them. Now, we think, well, you know, surely it would be better than hell. And that's true. Hell is terrible, and the Bible is very graphic about what it says. But remember this, God offers salvation to all people, but he doesn't force it. And I believe, Bert, anybody that wants Jesus can have him.
Yeah.
You read stories about the missionaries that they reach these unreached people groups who maybe for years had prayed, God, whoever you are, come and we'll receive you. And oftentimes we want something for people that they didn't even want for themselves. If people spent their life in a state of unbelief and rejection, they could have had Christ, but they didn't want Christ. And I know that's hard. That's sad to think about, isn't it?
It is. Now, let me read his scripture, okay, that he referred to. This is John 5, 25 and through 29. But anyway, let me start with 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Talking about a resurrection. Mm. And come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing, as I here judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. What is the will of the Father? That Jesus Christ be exalted, that he be magnified and glorified. Those that do good are those that do the will of God by choosing Jesus Christ. Those that are doing evil are those that reject his plan, his purpose, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Do you catch where he was referring to, Alex, in this passage?
Well, John 6, 29, this is the will of God, that you believe in Jesus Christ. And literally, the wording there in John 5, 28 through 29 says, those who have done righteously. Because it's tempting in the English Bible to read it and you think, good deeds.
Good works.
Yeah. But those that have done righteously. Romans 4, what is righteousness? To believe on Jesus Christ and the holiness of God is appropriated to you. So if John 5 were the only scripture we had to ponder upon, we might be tempted to think it, you know, good works. But those who in the sight of God are righteous is what it's saying. And to become righteous in the sight of God, you have to have a relationship with Jesus.
Tom, thank you for listening. We hope we answered as honestly and as forthrightly as we can. That's what we try to do, Alex. We try to be as honest and as open. Yeah, there are some things that are tough and difficult, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we want everyone that's listening today to trust him.
You know, the caller was from Oklahoma. I've got to say that I'm going to be there in July, July 22nd, 23rd, the Great America Reclaiming America for Christ, great event, reclaimingamericaforchrist.org. I'm going to be in Oklahoma. Look forward to seeing you all out there.
Well, Alex, it's been good to have you in the studio. Back on the road again.
Yep, good to be here. But I'll be on tomorrow.
Amen. Looking forward to that. Be listening. Tell someone about exploring the Word, but
tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.